All right, so we're starting here on the bottom of Ted Zion Amud Bet, four lines from the bottom, Tashma. The Gemara is continuing to discuss here the machloket that we saw between Rav and Shmuel in interpreting the words of Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer, Ish Tzreda, with regards to what was the status of the liquids within the Mikdash. So now the Gemara is going to bring the final proof here, or the final distinction that it's going to draw, and that's from the Pasuk in Haggai. The Pasuk in Haggai, in Perek Bet in Haggai, asks the following question. It says, Ko amar Hashem Tzvakot, shall not the Kohanim Torah l'imor? Please go ask the Kohanim this question. Hein, isa ish b'sar kodesh b'chnaf bigdo, v'naga b'knafo, el alechem, v'el anazid, v'el ayayin, v'el shemen, v'el kol ma'achal ha'yikdash, v'yanu ha'kohanim, v'yomru lo. And they said, no. So here, Haggai, or Hashem tells Haggai to present the Kohanim with a question about Tumah, and the Kohanim respond that it's not Tameh. Then, Amarav, Ishtabesh Kahaneh. The Kohanim made a mistake. They were incorrect in their response to Haggai by saying that this was Tahor and not Tameh. So, what do you see here? The only thing that really matters in terms of our machloket, Gemara is going to come back and discuss the whole pasuk, is that we see, or the assumption here being here, is that you have something beknaf bigdo. Beknaf bigdo means on the corner of his beged. Now, if something's on the corner of the beged's tameh, then the whole beged's tameh. It makes no difference if it's in the corner or on the side. So Rashi says is that we're talking about a sheretz over here. We're talking about a sheretz that's beknaf aviv. Then the sheretz touches the lechem. So a sheretz, which is an ava tuma, touches the lechem, makes it a rishon the tuma. The lechem touches the nizid, that makes it a sheni the tuma. Then it touches the yayin, that makes it into a shlishi the tuma. And then it touches the shemen, which is a revi'i the tuma. So now I have four levels of tuma. We've discussed this before when it regards to tuma. For chulin, you get up to sheni the tuma. Truma goes up to shlishi the tumah, and kodesh goes up to revi the tumah. Here's a case which would have been a revi the tumah, and the kohanim respond and say it's tahor, it's not tameh. So Rav says they made a mistake. The kohanim were wrong. They were ignorant, and they did not know the din here, and they said the wrong answer. The Rabbeinu Tam over here has a slightly different way of explaining this tumah, or the passage of tumah, and he says, because heni sai ish b'sar kodesh b'knaf b'gdo, v'naga b'knafo, it sounds like it touched the knaf, el alechem, Vela nazid, and then it touched the lechem nazid, vela yayin vela shemen, and then to wine and oil, ve'el kol ma'achal, and then to any food substance. Now, in the explanation of Rashi, ve'el kol ma'achal is basically left out and has no bearing in the pasuk. And then the question of Haggai is a yigdash, is that problematic? Ve'inu konim ve'mulo, and they said there is no problem here. So what the Rabbeinu Tam does, very interesting, because it solves one of the problems that we'll later mention with Rashi, which is that he says here that the sheretz touched the knaf. So the sheretz is an avatunra. It touches the knaf. The knaf is now a rishon lituma. Then v'nagav b'knafo el alechem v'el anazid. And then it touched one of these two items. Either touched the bread or it touched the nazid, the cooked item. Then that makes that into a sheni lituma. Then v'el ayayim v'el shemen is not both of them, but rather one of those two. Then either the lechem or the nazid, whichever one it touched, now touches a liquid afterwards, and that liquid is either wine or shemen. One of the two that makes it into a shlishi the tuma. Then vel koma chal, to any food substance, that makes it into a revi the tuma. What that benefits over here, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is that the passage of tuma here moves from solid to liquid to solid. And that's very important because we said before there's a possibility that there is no passage of tuma mim ochel the ochel. So in order to solve that problem, you now have the pasuk moving items or moving the tuma from the beged to a solid item, to a food item, then to a liquid, and then from that liquid to a food item. That is a problem that Rashi faces later on and basically says that this tumah, the conveyance of tumah here, is midrabanan. Even according to those that think there is a sequential passage of tumah, it's midrabanan because we're dealing here with ochel, that is conveying tumah to ochel, or liquid to liquid, meaning that they're in the same category and they're still conveying tumah. But what do you see from the pasuk in Haggai? What are the materials that are mentioned over here? We have lechem, which is a food substance, nazid, which is also a food substance, like nazid adashim by Esav. Then we have yayin and shemen, which are both liquids. And here, the liquids are not only accepting tumah, they're conveying tumah. So it's clear that this does not conform to what Rav said before, that when it comes to liquids, liquids not only are they do not convey tumah midoraita, they don't even mekabel tumah midoraita. They're completely tahor. Yet over here, you have an explicit pasuk in Haggai saying that there is conveyance of tumah through liquids. Now over here, you can't answer like we had before, midorabanan, and not like Yosef ben Yoezer. That's what we've answered until now, because we were talking about a pasuk mifurash. So it's one thing if Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer wants to argue on another Tano and say, okay, it's Midrabanan. He argues on another Tano. But even if you say it's all Midrabanan here, Yossi ben Yoezer can't argue on a Pasuk. So that can't be the answer in this case, especially if we think that it's Doraita. Forget about if it's the Rabbanan. So what's the answer? Gemara says, Midu Taimai lo the Rav. This is a question on Rav. And Rav also has another position, which is, Rav Mashke Beit Mit Bichayat Tnei, Ava Mashke Beit Mit Bichayat Mitamei. So there is going to be a distinction, some machloket we're going to see very shortly, which is to what liquids or about what liquids was this statement made. And Rav has a position that about the liquids in the Mikdash about which this was said was Beit Mitbachaya. Beit Mitbachaya from the word mitbach, which means a kitchen. But in the Mikdash, Beit Mitbachaya was the place where they cleaned the korbanot. It's where they washed out the innards of the korban, the fats, and removed them, the flaying area. So that was Mitbachaya. The liquids that are found in that area are two, water and blood. Those are the two liquids found in that area. On the other hand, the other possibility, what they're speaking about in liquids in the Mikdash, is Beit Mitbachaya. Mitbachaya in Aramaic is Mizbeach. So those are the items that go on the Mizbeach. Mizbeach includes Yayin, Shemen. Those are the liquids that are going onto the Mizbeach. So what Rav says is that Yosei ben Yoezer's position about liquids being Tahor in the Mikdash only applies to Beit Mitbachaya, only applies to blood and water. It does not apply to things that go on the Mizbeach, Yain and Shemen. So once you've done that, you've cleared up the problem in the Pasuk in Chagai. The Pasuk in Chagai is discussing Yain and Shemen, which are Bein Mitbachaya. Even there, Rav agrees that Mitameh, not only are they Mikabel Tumah, but they can pass on Tumah. And therefore, that's the solution to our problem here. Yes, no problem with the Pasuk in Chagai. The Pasuk in Chagai is talking about liquids that are not covered by this Tahor, or this dispensation that's given by Yosei ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda. So Gufa, let's discuss this pasuk in Chagai. Rav Amar Ishtabesh Kane. Rav says the Kohanim gave the wrong answer over here. Shmuel Amar Lo Ishtabesh Kane. Kohanim made no mistake. So Rav Amar Ishtabesh Kane Revi B'Kodesh by Minayu. Chagai asked them, what's the story with the Revi B'Kodesh? If you have Revi the Tumah B'Kodesh, is that Tomei? Ramulei Tahor. And they said back to him, it's Tahor, which is incorrect, because there is such thing as the Revi B'Kodesh, and that should have been Tomei. Ushmol Amar Lo Ishtabesh Kane. Shmuel says they made no mistake here. Chamishi B'Kodesh Var Minayu. This is actually a fifth level of Tumah, which does not apply by Kodesh, only applies by Parah Tumah. Ramulei Tahor. And they said it's Tahor, which is correct. Now the Gemara says, Bishlam Adar Rav. I understand Rav's position in the Pasuk in Chagai. Hainu Dichtiv Arba'ah. That's why there are four items mentioned there. The four items mentioned in the Pasuk are Lechem, Vinazid, the Yain B'Shemet. So that's how you get fourth derivative, a fourth level Tumah. So that makes sense. I understand how Rav came up with his position. El Shmuel Chamisha Minale. Where does he get a fifth level of Tumah according to Shmuel? Shmuel says in the Pasuk, Miktiv, does it say in the Pasuk V'Naga Knafo that his Knaf touched? But rather it says V'Naga B'Knafo. It wasn't written that what came into contact with the item in his knaf, but rather the item that came into contact with the knaf that came into contact with the item in his knaf. Shmuel claims that there's an additional step there, whereas Rav believes that you have a sheretz there, and that sheretz touched the lechem directly, and then the lechem to the nazid, to the yayin, to the shemen. Shmuel says, no, the sheretz is there. It touches the knaf, and then the knaf touches the lechem, and then so on and so forth. So Shmuel adds in an additional step there, which brings you down to a chamishi l'tumah. So once you have a chamishi l'tumah, the kohanim are right. Tahor, their answer is correct. Oh, okay, good question. Why? All right, I thought you were going to ask the question because of ochel. It's ochel to ochel. So then you're right, meaning that what you're saying is correct. In the end, it is the Rabbanan. Not because of the Mashke aspect, but because it's Mashke to Mashke and Ochel to Ochel. And that's why it's the Rabbanan over here, and not the Oraita. Alright, so now they continue here with the Kohanim, and they propose, or they ask them another question that's here, and that's what the Gemara discusses now. So it says, Vayomer Chagai. So Chagai then says to them, what happens in this situation, which is, Im Iga Tamei Nefesh B'Cholele Hayitamah. If a Tmei Nefesh touches all of these items, then what would be the din in that case? So the Kohanim respond and they say in that case, oh, he would be Tmei. So now, Bishlam Adu Shmuel, Midahafa Lo Ishtabesh, Hatam Lomi Ishtabesh. So according to Shmuel, it makes sense that they didn't make a mistake in both places. They didn't make a mistake the first time because they were talking about a Chamishi de Tumah. And in this case, they didn't make a mistake because here they were talking about Tmei Nefesh. And according to Rashi, what they're going to suggest is that Tmei Nefesh over here is someone who's Tmei Mate. The Tmei Nefesh, which directly came into contact with these four items, which is an Avatuma, passing down to a Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, and a Revi'i. So according to Shmuel, in the first case, you have five levels of Tumah, that ends up a Chamishi de Tumah. There they said Tahor correctly. Over here, by the case of Tmei Mate, they have four levels of Tumah. That was good. They came up with the right answer, which is that it was a Revi'i de Tumah. So for Shmuel, they answered by the Chamishi de Tumah, Tahor, and they answered by the Revi'i de Tumah, Tamei, which is exactly what they should have answered. So it makes sense. Look, they didn't make a mistake here. They didn't make a mistake there. But of the Rav, why shnahocha dishtabish? Why shnahotom delo ishtabish? If it's a Revi'i de Tumah in both cases, why they make a mistake? Why in one case, by Revi'i de Tumah, they say tahor? In the other case, Revi'i de Tumah, they say tamei. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Huah, bikin hein betumat amet, ve'en bikin hein betumat sheretz. They didn't know there were two different types of tumah. There's one tumah that derives from tamei mate, starting with a tamei mate, and then going down to reveal the tumah. And there's another one that starts with a sheretz and goes down to reveal the tumah. A tamei mate and a sheretz are both avha tumah. And the reveal the tumah that derives from them is the same. But they didn't understand that. That was the mistake that they made. They understood by Tamei Mate that that was the case. They did not understand that when it came to Sheretz. And therefore, in one case, they ended up with the right answer. In one case, they ended up with the wrong answer. Ravina Amar Hotam Revi'i Hocha Shilishi. He says, no, the difference being, again, that we're dealing here with the Revi'i and Shlishi. When we said Tamei Mate over here, we don't mean Tamei Mate, meaning an Avatuma, but rather, we're talking about a case where it is a mate itself. And since it's a mate itself, then we're talking about a Shlishi versus a Revi. So Revi the Tumah they didn't know about. So that's they called Tahor. Shlishi the Tumah, that they did know about, and therefore they made that Tamei. So that's the way the Ravina explains it in the words of Rav. So now the Gemara continues to explain or to go through the psukim in Chagai. So after we said, Vayim Chagai migat Tamei Nefesh b'chol ela itma, and then Vayinu Akonim v'remo itma. Then Vayan Chagai v'yomer Kein ha'amazet. V'chein agoy hazeh lefanai nu'um Hashem. V'chein kol ma'aseh yedehem, v'asher yakrivu sham, tamei hu. So God basically says that everything they're doing, everything they touch is tamei. So what you have a response from God seems to indicate that they have no idea what they're talking about. They're not acting appropriately. So that's what Gemara says, Bishlam on the Rav, Hainu dechtiv tamei. I understand why the Pasuk says that God thinks what they're doing is tamei. But Elul the Shmuel, who thinks they're getting everything right, amai tamei? Why is God saying that what they're doing is tamei? So where it says, Itmuya ikamitamo, God is saying it as an exclamation. If they get in, once they got everything right, God says, could it be that everything they're doing is Tamei? The Gemara says, V'ha v'chein kol ma'aseh yedehem k'tiv. You read the Pasuk, it's very hard to read the Pasuk as being something of an exclamation because of the way the Pasuk is laid out, which is, V'yomer chagai v'yomer kein ha'amazeh, v'chein agoy hazeh lefanai nu'um Hashem, v'chein kol ma'aseh yedehem, v'asher yakrivu sham tamei hu. V'chein is not a term that you use when you make an exclamation. V'chein is a comparative term that indicates that everything that he said there, he was rejecting. God is saying that these Kohanim have no idea what they're doing, and therefore their avodah is psula, or their avodah is tamei'ah, because they have no idea what they're doing with tumah. So Gemara says, Amar Mar Zutra v'itei Maravashi mitoch shekilkulu et ma'asehem. Since their behavior was inappropriate, nothing to do with Tumah. Their behavior, Rashi says, claims it's lachar zman. It wasn't right now, but later on, they went sinned. Male alehem akatuv gili kruvu b'tumah. The Navi terms it as if they were makri b'tumah. Meaning that the inappropriate behavior, the Torah calls Tum'ah. So that's why the Pasuk says here, these Kohanim, we're not going to accept what they bring. Not because of what they're doing now, or not because of their ignorance now, but because of what's going to come of them, or what will become of them. That's why the Pasuk says Tamei, even though Shmuel says they're getting the answers to these questions correct. Okay, Gufa. But now this goes back to the question about Yosef ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda, who said, Al-Mashkim Beit, what? Are dachein. Mashkin of something are tahor. So this is that machloket we said before, the shitat rav. The shitat rav, everything was tahor, but what was he speaking about? So before we said that rav said that he's only talking about mashke beit mit bechaya. So here's the machloket about that. Guva rav tani mashke beit mit bechaya. Rav says it's only talking about those liquids that are found in the areas where they dealt with the korbanot, washing them down, cleaning them out, which is blood and water. The Levi Tana Mashke Be Midbechaya. Levi's Girsa and the statement of Yossi ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda is Midbechaya or Mizbeach. And therefore, he thinks not only is the water and the blood tohor, he thinks Yain Veshemin is tohor. The Gemara says, Le Levi. According to Levi, Hanicha Isver Leke Shmuel. Levi makes sense if he holds like Shmuel. Remember, we had a machlok between Rav and Shmuel before with regards to what Yossi ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda said. Rav said when he said Tahor, he meant Tahor Legamre, completely and totally Tahor. Where Shmuel believed that when he said Tahor, it meant Tahor to be Mitamei Acherim, but it was still Tamei Lekabel Tuma. So Mido right to the Mekabel Tuma. Midi Rabbanan, they can pass on Tuma, and that's where the Chachamim said that they suspended the Tuma in that case. So in that instance, I could understand the position of Levi, because at least then there's some semblance of Tuma that's involved over here. Whereas, if he holds like Rav says it's Tahor Legamrei. Tahor Legamrei, then how is it ever passing on? How do you explain that Pasuk in Chagai that deals with Yayin and Shemen, v'chulei v'chulei? So that's what the Gemara says here. Anicha Yisvir Leikishmol Damar. Tachein militamei tumat achirim. Tahor means that the tahor from conveying tuma. Avo tumat atzman yeshlem. But they are mikabel tuma. And since they are mikabel tuma, so then that's doraito. So that you can't suspend in the mikdash because that's doraito. Mid rabbanan, there is this conveyance of tuma. And then mishkachala denage kulu barishon. Then I can explain that whole pasuk. Not like what we explained it today, so far. The way we explained it so far is that the pasuk is speaking about a sequential tuma. Tuma that moves through here sequentially, meaning that it was first touched the lechem, then the nazid, then the yayin, and then the shemen. So that's the way we dealt with it. But the truth is that it could be that the sherets or something touched each one of them individually. So now, if you hold like Rav, it makes no difference whether it touched each one individually or touched them sequentially down the line, because Rav believes there is no such thing as Tuma in these cases. On the other hand, if you think hold like Shmuel, where the Kabbalata Tuma, at least the acceptance of Tuma, is something that midoraito is possible or plausible, then if you explain it that way, that each one individually touched the sherets, I can understand the pasuk. So that's what the Gemara now says about Levi. Levi, who says that every liquid in the Mikdash is tahor, according to Yosef ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda. That means dam, mayim, yayin, shemen. Everything is tahor. Tahor means that it's tahor from conveying tuma, but does not mean tahor from accepting tuma. So now I have a way to explain that pasuk in Chagai and say that they all accepted tuma. They're not doing passing tuma down to Revi, but they're all accepting tuma. A sheretz touched this, a sheretz touched that, a sheretz touched this, a sheretz touched that. All of those items are tamei, and that works in Shmuel. But if Levi holds like Rav that tahor means both tahor from accepting tuma and tahor of conveying tuma, then there's no such thing or there's no concept of tuma whatsoever in the Mikdash. How are you going to explain that pasuk in Chagai? And that's why the Gemara says now, according to Levi, it must be. You have to explain it that way, that the Tahor over here that we're speaking about is Tahor according to Shmuel's understanding of Tahor, and not according to Rav's understanding of Tahor. Otherwise, Levi is very difficult to understand, or Levi's position is very difficult to explain. Ela e sever like Rav, if he holds like Rav, damar dachein mamash, that means Tahor begamre, heche mishkachala, then he can never explain this pasuk in Chagai. So, kochach, for sure, Levi holds like Shmuel. So that's the first statement of the Gemara. The second statement of the Gemara is Udu Shmuel himself. Shmuel himself, Hanicha Yisavar like Rav. Shmuel's position makes sense if he holds like Rav. Detani Mashke Beit Mitbichaya. Aval Mashke Beit Mitbichaya, Chorine Nami Mitamu. But whether it's Beit Mitbichaya, not only do they accept Tuma, but they also convey Tuma. So in that instance, a fourth level of Tuma doesn't make a fifth level of Tuma. Hashlishi avid revi, but a third level does make a fourth level. Either isavar like Levi, if he holds like Levi, then the tani mashke be midbechaya, that he says that this even applies to the liquids associated with the mizbeach, meaning shemen and yayin, then mayuriya revi, the lo avid chamishi. What is the fact that you only get up to revi in tuma in kodesh, not a chamishi? Afilu shein vishlishi nami lo avde. You couldn't even get to a second or third level of tuma because it doesn't convey tuma at all. Elor korchach. Kirav Svirile. It must be that Shmuel holds like Rav. So now what you have here is two different ways to explain the Pasuk in Chagai. Rav and Shmuel agree about the explanation of the Pasuk in Chagai, that it is a sequential levels of Tuma. That means that the sherets touch the Lechem, The lechem touched the nazid touched the yain, and then the shemen. They argue about what the starting point was. According to Rav, it was the sheretz touched it directly. Whereas, according to Shmuel, it was the sheretz touched the knaf, and then moved down. But they both agree that it was a sequential movement of tumah. On the other hand, Levi has to read the pasuk in Haggai that the sheretz touched each one of these items individually. Because, according to Levi, in the Mikdash, there was no such thing as a liquid that can convey tumah. Levi says that this din of Yosef and Yoezer Ish Tzreda applies to all liquids in the Mikdash. So at minimum, Shmuel's position is that that means they accepted tumah, but they could not convey tumah. They can't convey tumah. It's clear you can't explain that pasuk in Haggai as being a passing of tumah sequentially. Therefore, Levi must explain the pasuk in Haggai as meaning that the sheretz touch each one of them individually. Now, based on that, it comes out that Levi, who is explaining the pasuk in Haggai that they touched each one, has to hold like Shmuel. He has to hold like Shmuel because he has to have afford the opportunity for liquids to accept tumah. And that's only possible in the shita of Shmuel. Because Rav's shita is that whatever is included under Yosef ben Yoezer's statement is tohor the gamre. Tohor from accepting tumah, tohor from passing tumah. So that's why we have to say within Levi's position, he must hold like Shmuel. And the other way is true as well. Shmuel and Rav, who both think that the pasuk is talking about something sequential in passing of tumah, they both must hold like Rav. They have to hold like Rav that the liquids that are mentioned by Yosef ben Yoezer are only those liquids that are associated with Beit Mitbechaya, which is the dam in the mayim, but not things that go in the mizbech. But otherwise, they could not explain the pasuk as talking about sequential tumah. How could liquids ever pass tumah? Both Rav and Shmuel agree that liquids cannot pass tumah if they're covered by the statement of Yosef ben Yoezer. And so for that reason, Rav and Shmuel must hold like Rav's position of Beit Mitbechaya and not Beit Midbechaya. So that's what the Gemara just lined up for here. Here are two ways to explain the pasuk in Haggai. Rav and Shmuel's explanation of the pasuk, Levi's explanation of the pasuk. Levi's explanation of the pasuk was only possible under Shmuel's position. And Rav and Shmuel's position in that pasuk was only possible under Rav's explanation. Tanya Kavata de Rav. We have a braita that supports the position of Rav. Tanya Kavata de Levi. And we have a braita that supports the position of Levi. Tanya Kavata de Levi. We have a position, a braita that supports Levi. Hadam. Vayayin. Vashemin. Vamayim. Mashke be midbichayash nitmu bifnim. If these are the liquids of the Mizbeach that became Tamei inside, Votzian the Chutz. And then you take them out of the Mikdash, Teorim, they remain Tahor. Nitmeu b'chutz, if they became Tamei before they entered the Kodesh, v'chnisam bifnim, and then you brought them in, Tameim, they remain Tamei. So here it's clear from the Braita that this is like Levi's position because it includes Yain and Shemin in the list. So the fact that it includes Yain and Shemin in the list automatically means that we're talking about Levi's position because Rav and Shmuel don't believe that the Yain and Shemin are included in the list at all. Then the Gemara asks a separate issue, which is Ini. Can you really explain the Braita? This Braita doesn't make so much sense. They're only tahor in their place or in their location. So what does it mean in their location? My love, they mute nitmeu bifnim otzian lechutz. Seems to indicate that if you had them there and then you took them out, they would become tamei. Rav says lo, they mute nitmeu bechutz v'chnesim bifnim. It comes to exclude the case where they became tamei outside. And then he brought them in. It says, "V'ham bim koman kamar." It says that in their place, that's when they're tahor. Hachi kamar. This is how to explain Rabbi Shub and Levi's position, which is lo amru dachein. They only said tahor elish nitmu bim koman if they become tamei in their location. So if they became tamei in their location, which means inside of the kodesh or in the kodeshim, then they remain tahor no matter where they go afterwards. On the other hand, if they became tamei outside and then you bring them in, that's not mitahar them. So now we've explained the Braita. We figured out a way to explain the Braita, which is basically the way that we read the Braita up front, which is that if they become tamei outside of the Mikdash, they remain tamei when you bring them into the Mikdash. If they remain tahor in the Mikdash because there's no tumah on them in the Mikdash, when you take them out, that doesn't change. But the basic line here, and this is why it's a support of Levi, is that the liquids that are enumerated over here are liquids that include yain v'shemen. Now, Tanya Kavata de Rav. Now we have a braita that supports Rav's position. Hadam v'amayim mashke beit mitbichayash nitmeu ben bekelim ben bekarka tohorim. So there we have only in the list the items that are included in the liquids that are tohor, dam and mayim. The mashkim a beit mitbichayah, which is the position of Rav. So nitmeu, if they became to make ben bekelim, whether they were inside of utensil, ben bekarka, whether they were in the ground, tohorim, then they are tohor. Abi Shimon Omer, Bekelim Tmeim, if they're in utensil, then they are Tmeim. Bekarko, they're found in the ground, then they are Tehorim, then they are Tohor. According to the Braita, which supports Rav, we understand the position that Mayim and Dam are Tahor, whether they're in Kelim, whether they're in the Karka, it's always Tahor, because there's no Gzeira inside of the Mikdash. Rabbi Shimon is based on a position about the mikveh, which we're going to see in 1 second in the Gemara, which is, what is the minimum size for a mikveh? So we know that the minimum size for a mikveh is 40 sa'ah, is 40 sa'ah. But it turns out that that's not so clear. The minimum size of 40 sa'ah is only for a human being that needs to go into mikveh, because that's based on the pasuk which says, rechat et kol bisaro, that he has to take his whole body into the water. And the chachamim established that what is the size or the minimum size of water that you need in order for to get your whole body in, that's 40 sa'ah. So it turns out is that the mikveh for a human being to go into is 40 sa'ah. But what happens if you have a little needle that you need to bring into the mikveh? Do you need a 40 sa'ah mikveh for that? You could get that needle into the water even less than 40 sa'ah. So it turns out that mida oraita, a mikveh can be the size of a revit. Revit alog is a mikveh. For anything above a revit alog is a mikveh. So now, that is the din min ha-Torah, that those liquids are tahor. The chachamim were gozer, or made a takana, that for everything you have to have arbeim sa'ah. Even for small items or small utensils, you need 40 sa'ah. Even though min ha-Torah, you could use less. Chachamim were gozer arbeim sa'ah, so there were no mistakes made, both for human beings, utensils. Everybody is going to use the same size mikveh, which is arbeim sa'ah. But that's only an imposition, mi derabanan. But that means midoraita, liquids that are found in the ground, a revit of mayim that's in the ground, gathered together is a mikveh and it's tahor. So that explains the position of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, bikelim, you find liquids in a keli, that's tamei, because liquids are tamei. Liquids have a din in tuma. On the other hand, bikarka, you have a liquid in a karka. Here we're talking about mayim, not dam, but mayim in the karka, that has the status of a mikveh. It has the status of a mikveh, it's over a revit, then that's why it's tahor. And the chachamim can't change that, it's tahor. And that's it. Now they want to be gozer, they were gozer outside the mikdash. But in the mikdash, they were not gozer about that, and therefore, that amount of water within the mikdash will be tahor. That explains the position of Rabbi Shimon. So now, Amar Papa. Papa says, afilu demanda amar, Tumat Mashkim de'oraita, even according to the one who says that Tumat Mashkim is min ha-Torah, Mashke beit mitbechaya hilchata gemirila. The liquids that are inside of the Mikdash, the Dam and the Mayim, are din halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Amalei Rav Huna, Breda Rav Natan, Rav Papa, Ve'elahadamar, Rav Elazar, Ein Tumat Mashkim kolikar. Rav Elazar, who was the one who introduced us to Rav Yossi ben Yoezer Ish Treda, he started a statement out, Ein Tumat Mashkim kolikar. There's no such thing as Tumat Mashkim in a Torah. Teda, Sharei. And now he brings a proof to this. What's his proof? Sharei Heid, Yossi ben Yoezer, Ish Treda, Mashkei Beit Mitchaya, Dachin. Because he testified about these liquids, the Dam and the Mayim, inside of the area where they worked on the Karbanot and the Mikdash. He said that they're Tahor. If you think it's halacha l'moshe misinai, mi gamrina mina, you cannot extrapolate from it. The idea of a halacha l'moshe misinai is that this is a unique din, this is a unique halacha that's only applicable over here. There's no logic, there's no standard limudim that we use in Kol HaTorah Kula. This is simply a unique din that's particular to that case. So if there's a halacha l'moshe misinai, that the liquids inside of the mikdash, mayim and dam, are tahor, how can you extrapolate from that that all mashkim are not min ha-Torah? How could you say that? How can you say mashkim don't have any din in tumah? How can you extrapolate halacha l'moshe misinai? Halacha l'moshe misinai is simply that. It's that din and that din only. So that makes it sound like this isn't halacha l'moshe misinai. This is a din l'gamrei. Amar lei Ravina the Ravashi, v'ha Rabbi Shimon damar tumat mashkim de'oraita. What about Rabbi Shimon, who says that tumat mashkim are min ha-Torah? Titanio, they had a braita, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Amrim, the kelim torim, the uchlim tmeim. When it comes to these liquids that are tmei min ha-Torah, for kelim, they are tahor. These mashkim don't affect kelim. Le uchlim, on the other hand, for food items or food substances, they are tmeim. V'hacha kama Rabbi Shimon. So this is what Rabbi Shimon says, bikelim tmeim, bikarka tahorim. But then he says, in addition to that, that is with liquids that are found inside of kelim. But if they're found in the ground, the tahorim. If this is a halacha l'moshe misinai, mali bikelim, mali bikarka. Why would I ever differentiate between liquids that are found in utensils and liquids that are found in the ground? Now, we already explained before the reason to separate Rabbi Shimon's position, why to separate between liquids found in utensils and liquids found in the ground. Liquids and utensils are regular liquids. Liquids found in the ground have a din of mikveh d'oraita. But that's only true if you think the din is really a din d'oraita. If it's a din d'oraita, I have a reason to differentiate. But if it's simply a halacha l'moshe misinai, where do you ever come up with such a differentiation? There's no logic should not be applied in the case of Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. When you talk about a din d'oraita, then we can talk about logic. We can talk about separating between liquids. But if I'm simply talking about Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai should apply across the board. That means both to utensils and to the karka. Somebody says kasha. That's a strong question against Rapopa's position over here, that it's Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, and basically the Gemara is rejecting that understanding that this idea that the liquids in the Beit Mitbachaya, whether they're Torim or whether they're Tmeim, is not Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. It's certainly not Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. So now, Amar Rapopa. Now we have another statement for Rapopa, which is, Hadamart Bikarka Torim. When we say that in liquids in the ground are Tahor, Lo Shanu Ela B'mayim. That's only true with water. With blood, no, it's not the case. So we already explained this. I mean, the Gemara is explaining what I already told you before in Rabbi Shimon's position, which is the source for Rabbi Shimon's position that in karka it's tahor is because it's a mikveh. Water can make a mikveh. Dam cannot make a mikveh. And for that reason, Rapop is saying there's that differentiation. Even Rabbi Shimon says, b'karka der tahorim, that's only true by mayim. It's not true by dam. In addition to that, umayim nami lo umayim dahabi revit, the minimum shiur for a mikveh, midoraita, is revi'it, which is a din derabonon, that the rabbanon determined that's what the Torah meant. The chazir atbil b'machtin v'tzinorot, because then it has the ability to dip into it, or to be mitaher items like machtim, which are needles, and tzinorot, which are these little forks that they used to use to spin the gold. But if they don't meet the revit, then they are tamei. But what Rapa is basically explaining to you is why the position of Rabbi Shimon is the bekarka der torim. Bekarka der torim because they have a din of mikveh. Din of mikveh has a couple of qualifications. One, it has to be water. Number two is it has to be a minimum of revit. So those are the qualifications for that statement of Rabbi Shimon. When he says bekarka torim, it's only about water. It's only about water that's above a revit halug.
Correct. That's exactly what the Ri says in Tosafot. Mikan omer Ri, sheish the daktek, the mikveh shekulo sha'uv, enu pasul elo midra banan. The fact that you need flowing water or rainwater to come into the mikveh and not drawn water is only a din derabonan. Mido oraita min haTorah, mikveh kasher, even if it's maim shuvim, even if it's drawn water. The Ri will have to explain why we have this gezeira or this taknat chachamim and other limudim that we see in the Gemara, but the Ri includes exactly what you just said. If, according to Rabbi Shimon, the whole din of mayim here in the Mikdash is tahor because there's a din of mikveh, that mayim in the Beit Mitbechaya came through mayim shuvim, and therefore you would conclude from that that min haTorah mayim shuvim are fine or are allowed to be used. And it's exactly what the Ri says.
Okay, Amamar, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bakol Tameh. So this is back on the Tabatet Zayim Rav, which started us off over here. We had a Breita. The Breita said that, according to Rabbi Meir, Safek Mashkim Litameh Tameh. That Safek, if you have a Safek Mashkim to accept Tumah, then it's Tameh, because that's Deoraita. To pass on Tumah, that's Tahor, because that's only Derabanan. Then we had the position of Rabbi Elazar, who's agreed with Rabbi Meir. Then we had Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Chol Tameh. Mashkim are Tameh all the way around. That means to accept Tumah and to convey Tumah. Then lastly, we had a position of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon on that Braita that said, Ochlim Tameim, the Kelim Torim. For Ochlim, these liquids are Tameh, but for Kelim, they are Tehorim. So those are the positions that we saw in the Braita. Now the Gemara is coming back to discuss that position of Rabbi Yehuda, which is a Chol Tameh. So the Memra, the Sover Rabbi Yehuda, Tumat Mashkim, the Tameh Tumat Kelim Doraita. Sounds like from Rabbi Yehuda that these liquids can convey Tumah not only to Ochel, but they can convey to Kelim, Min haTorah. Is that possible? That's not. Kol HaKelim, Sheyesh Lem Achuraim. Any Keli that has a outside to it, Vitoch, and an inside to it, means it's a receptacle. So it has an area in which the items are received or are kept, and then the outside of that utensil or functions on two sides. There's an inner side and an outer side to the item. Kigon, for instance, Karim, pillows, kisatot, or cushions, vasakim, and the sacks, vamartzufim, which are these leather packing bags.
As Tosafot points out over here, this is true by any keli that has a toch and a gav. The examples are brought here are brought because they are subject to machloket. It's not really relevant to our Gemara, but they're brought as examples because in other places they are subject to a machloket.
Nitma tocho. If the inside becomes tamei, then nitma gabo. Then the outside becomes tamei. Nitma gabo. On the other hand, if the outside becomes tamei, lo nitma tocho. The inside does not become tamei. Amar Yehuda, Bemed Dvarim Amurim, when is that true? Shnitmu Machmat Mashkim, if they became Tamei through liquids. Avon Nitmu Machmat Sheretz, if they became Tamei from a Sheretz, Nitma Tocho, Nitma Gabo. The inside becomes tamei, the outside becomes tamei. Nitma gabo, nitma tocho. The outside becomes tamei, then the inside also becomes tamei. Now, as far as a keli in general, as far as utensils in general, there is no difference between the inside and the outside. The only time in Tuma that we have a difference between inside and outside is with kli cheres. And that's not what we're discussing over here. We're not discussing kli cheres over here. We're talking about normal kelim. In normal kelim, there should be no difference between the inside and the outside of the keli. That means if there was Tuma that touched the keli, whether it touched on the inside or the outside, the keli is tamei. That should be the basic din, and that's what the din is, the gabe sheretz. Sheretz, which is an avat tuma, touches the keli now becomes a rishon the tuma, and that rishon the tuma doesn't matter if the sheretz touched on the outside or touched on the inside, it's tamei legamre. And that is just for sake of understanding tuma in general, that a keli can only accept tuma from an avat tuma. Keli only becomes tamei if an avat tuma comes into contact with it. That's number one. Number two is liquids and foods can never be an avat tuma. They are always at maximum a rishon the tuma. So by definition, what I just said to you is that a liquid or an ochel can never be mitamei a keli, since a keli can only accept tuma from an avat tuma, and since liquids and foods are never an avat tuma, you know already that liquids and foods cannot be mitamei kelim. There is one exception to that. We discussed this before, which is the liquids that emanate from a zav, a zava, a nida, which have a status of an avatuma. That's the only exception to the rule. That's the basis that we're talking about here. What you have here in this statement of Rabbi Yehuda is a differentiation between liquids that were mitamei kelim and a sheretz that was mitamei kelim. The difference being that a sheretz is an avatuma, and min ha-Torah, it's mitamei the kelim. And that's why you have this din that doesn't make a difference on the inside or the outside. On the other hand, mashkim, liquids cannot be mitamei keli. So why are they being mitamei keli here? That's in din durabanan. The Rabbanan instituted that liquids are mitamei keli because they were afraid. What were they afraid of? They were afraid of the instance when the liquids are an avatuma. That instance is when it emanates from a zav, a zava, or nida, when they have liquids that emanate from them, those liquids are an avatuma. So therefore they were gozer on all liquids that they have a din to be mitamei kelim. But that's only a din derabanan. So how did the Rabbanan differentiate between a din doraita and a din derabanan? That's what you just saw here in Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda just gave you that explanation of that difference, which is that by the sheretz, it's mitamei inside and outside. Whereas derabanan, when it's the mashkim that are mitamei the keli, if you mitamei the inside, it affects the outside, but not the other way around. If it touches the outside, it's not mitamei the inside. So what you see from here is that this idea that mashkim can mitamei a keli is only a din dirabanan. And we just said here that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that liquids can be mitamei everything doraita. So how do we have such a din here? And that's what the Gemara's question is over here, which says, Isak adat cho, if you believe tumat mashkim letamei kelim doraita, that liquids can be mitamei a keli min haTorah, mali nitma machmat mashkim, mali nitma machmat sheretz. Why should there be any differentiation between a sheretz and a liquid? If they both create tuma doraita, then they both should have the same din, which means if you touch the outside, it's tamei, you touch the inside, it's tamei. There should be no differentiation. Ella, what's the answer? The answer is that there is a differentiation because one is doraita and one is dirabanan. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel Chazar Bo Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda relented on his position, and he did not continue to believe that mashkim are mitamei kelim midoraita. In the Braita, we saw that he said that mashkim are mitamei midoraita. Shmuel says that he retracted his position. That's not the position that he held afterwards. So now, Ravina Amad Olam Lo Hadar, he didn't change his mind. Depends how the mashkim became tameim. If the mashkim became tameim through a sheretz, that's one thing. If the liquids became tameim through your hands, that's a different thing. Because hands are a sheni the tuma. So hands are automatically a sheni tuma. They touch a liquid. It makes a liquid into what we call a tchila. Makes it into a rishon the tuma. And then we're dealing with a whole sequence that's derabanan. Whereas if liquids touch a sheretz, they're tamei midoraita. They become a rishon the tuma deoraita. Now, then we still have an institution, the Rabbanan, that they should be mitamei kelim. But what Ravina is suggesting is that these are two different dinim derabanan. There are two paths in a dinim derabanan. In one path of dinim derabanan, when they originate from a sheretz, then they have a din like the Torah din, which is that everything is tamei deoraita. On the other hand, when they emanate from your hands, which is a din derabonon, that's where that differentiation comes between sheretz and from dinei derabanan. So that's the suggestion of Ravina. Gemara says, Ihochi, if that's the distinction you want to make, Adatani Bamed Varim Amurim, then why did you differentiate between, before, when we made the statement to differentiate, we made a differentiation between Sheretz and Mashkim. Shenitmu Mahmat Mashkim, Liflok Ditne Bidida. You could make a finer distinction internally, which is, Bamed Varim Mashkim Abayim Mahmat Yadayim. When is that true that this din applies? That's only when the liquids emanated from your hands, which is a din der Abon. But Mashkim Abayim Mahmat Sheretz, which is a din der, right? Nitma tocho, nitma gabo, nitma gabo, nitma tocho. Then if you think that liquids in that case do alright or mitamea keli, then it should make no difference. It should be inside and outside, it should be tamei. It's clear, Kedeshanina Mikoro, like we learned before, that Rabbi Yehuda retracted his position. Now, once Rabbi Yehuda retracted his position, what was his position after that? So then the Gemara says, Chazuba Rabbi Yehuda. So then he retracted his position. He bailu. Mikelim Huda Hadarbe? When he retracted his position, he only retracted with regards to Kelim, which means that he doesn't think liquids are meant to make Kelim. About Bochlim, by food items, then he believes Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon, severely. He also like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon, who we read at the end of the Braita, who believe that liquids can be metame and ochel. They can't be metame kelim, but they can be metame and ochel. Oh, Dilma the Gamre Hadobe. Or maybe when he retracted his position, he retracted it completely and he held like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar, who say that liquids can never convey Tuma. They can accept Tuma, but they can never convey Tuma. So when he retracted his position, whose position did he adopt? Did he adopt Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar's position? That nothing can be conveyed through liquids? Or did he adopt the position of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon that liquids can convey Tumah to Ochlim, but they just cannot be mitamei or convey Tumah to Kelim? So that's what Gemara says. I'll prove it to you. Para sheshatata mechatat. You have a cow, whether it's a cow of chulin or whether it's a cow of kodesh, that drinks mechatat. Mechatat are the waters that would need kadesh to sprinkle on someone who is tamei mate in order to be mitaher them. What's the din of those liquids after the cow drinks them? So in general, those liquids are mitamei, anybody who comes into contact with them. So he drank them. So now you shech that animal and those liquids are there. So Gemara says, Bisara tamei. The flesh of this animal is tamei. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, bitlu b'me'eha. That they are batel inside of the stomach or the intestines of the animal, they are negated. So Gemara says now, if you think that when Rabbi Yehuda retracted his position, he only retracted with regards to kelim, but by food items, he holds like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, how could you say that these liquids are nullified or are meaningless inside the stomach of the animal? The gamre? How can you say they're completely gone? Even though they don't convey higher levels of Tumah, they should convey lower levels of Tumah. That is because Mechatat is such a high level of Tumah that it can be Metameh Adam and it can be Metameh Kelim. So that's a significantly or high level of Tumah. So okay, let's agree now that after the cow drank them, that those liquids can't convey the same level of Tumah that they did before. They're not going to convey the level of Tumah to be Metameh Adam or Metameh Kelim because they're Pasul. You can't use them as Mechatat anymore. But nevertheless, since they touched themselves, that means that even though they can no longer convey Tumah at the highest level, they should be able to metamei or convey Tumah like Ochlim, like regular Ochlim. And so if that's the case, then they have Mashkim here, touching the Basar of the animal. It should convey Tumah from the Mashkim themselves, which touched an quote-unquote Ava Tumah, never reaching the Tumah. They should be able to convey Tumah even in Chulin to the Basar. And so how come Rabbi Yehuda says over here, Bitul Memeah, they don't exist anymore. What do you mean they don't exist anymore? They should be able to convey at least a minimum amount of Tumah. Because they were in contact with themselves. They were once an abatuma. They're now nothing, but maybe they're ochel. They're still a food substance. They're still a mashke. If that's the case, they should have a minimum amount of tumah, at least a rishon of tumah that they should consider. They should be able to convey tumah, these liquids, to the basar. How come that's not? Bitlu mitumah chamura. So Gemara says, no, that you didn't understand. When he said bitlu b'me'ah, that they were nullified in the stomach or the intestines of the animal, that was that they lost their high level of tumah. They dropped down to the lower level of tumah, but that means aval tumah kala mitamu, but they will give off a lower level of tumah. Mar says michlav. That's the case. What are you going to say about the Tana Kama now? The Tana Kama, Rabbi Yehuda says bitul me'ah means they drop from tumah chamura down to tumah kala, but that means that the Tana Kama says they're tamei means that he thinks that it's tumah chamura. So michlav, the Tana Kama says tumah chamura nami mitamu. Habsara tamei tani. All he says is that the flesh of the animal comes tamei. That's a lower level of tumah. If you think these are a high level of tumah, then they could be conveyed Tumah to Adam, Kelim. What do you mean just the basar of the animal? So Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. This braita is kula Rabbi Yehuda. This braita is totally authored by Rabbi Yehuda. B'chusurei mechsaran. It's missing some words here, which is v'achintani. Parash is shatuta mechatat bisara tame. Then its flesh is tame. Bamed v'rim umurim. That means it's tuma kala. About tuma chumra, lo. That's only tuma kala. They convey a lower level of tuma, but not a higher level of tuma. Why? Rabbi Yehuda Omer bitlu b'meya. The reason is because they lost their status of mechatat once the animal drank them. So they no longer have the tumah chamura mechatat conveyed like an avatumah, but they still have the basic tumah of tumah tochlim, which is a rishon the tumah. And therefore they can convey that tumah to the basar. And there's only one opinion in that braita. But that would suggest that Rabbi Yehuda, when he retracted his statement, he only retracted it with regards to kelim. That means that he still thinks that liquids can convey tumah to ochlim. And therefore he agrees with Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon in that regard. That's one possible conclusion. Ravashi amar, olam bitlu me'al legamrei. Ravashi says no. Rabbi Yehuda believes that when he retracted his statement about kelim, he also retracted it about food items as well. And you have no proof from this braita because when he said bitlu me'al was the gamrei, but why? Mishum dehabile mashke saruach. Because it's a spoiled liquid. It's no longer a liquid anymore. This is a liquid that is gone bad. Gone bad because now it's been in the digestive tract and it's no longer the liquid that went in there. So since it's a spoiled liquid, it no longer has the status of a liquid at all. Since it doesn't have a status of a liquid, it can't convey tuma. Not because it's not tame or it didn't have that level tuma, it's just no longer a liquid. It doesn't have the status of a liquid anymore. So Ravashi says you can't prove anything to me from that braita, because it's possible that the reason Rabbi Yehuda says bitlu there means it's bitlu the gamrei and has nothing to do with whether liquids convey tuma or don't convey tuma. That's the fact that this no longer has the status of a liquid. So at least according to the first way we explained it or explained the braita, then we have a conclusion about Rabbi Yehuda's position, which is that he retracted with regards to kelim, but with regards to ochel, he says that mashkim are still conveying tuma, and he holds like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rashi, it's unclear. The braita brings no proof to this. All the braita says is that this liquid is no longer a viable liquid, and since it's not a viable liquid, there's no tuma to speak of. Had it been a viable liquid, could it convey tuma? Maybe, maybe not. We don't have any conclusive evidence to that, and then we still don't know what Rabbi Yehuda's position is when he retracted it. Could be that he retracted it the gabe kelim and retracted it the gabe ochel, but we don't have any conclusive proof if you explain the braita that way, like Rabashi. We'll stop over here.